The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This is issue 43, where John and I talk about Amazon Prime's original series, The Boys, based on the comic book series by Garth Ennis with art by Derek Robertson. We talk spoiler-free for almost 22 minutes, and believe it or not, there's a controversy in there. Then we go full spoilers and see where this story is going. So let's head into the store. What's up, mother...
Language.
Took you a minute to get that going. I don't even know how to respond to that.
What?
Not much.
Well, we're...
I don't think I've heard you say that since high school.
Nope. I got a new sounder, and that's what people heard, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I figured I'd break it out since... Since we're doing The Boys.
Right. I was going to say, I'm ready to do The Boys.
So, yeah. Let the expletives fly. No, that's a lot of work. But, yeah, I created the new sounder that people just heard.
Yeah.
I have two of them. One of them is Captain America.
Language.
And then right. The other, so that'll go if we accidentally slip up, which you've been really good, but.
I've been known to slip every once in a while, but.
And the other one was, Tony Stark.
For gosh sake, watch your language.
It's in the same set of lines in, Age of Ultron at the beginning.
Language.
And for gosh sake, watch your language.
That's not going away anytime soon.
So now I can just curse at will,
no,
and you can bleep me out.
No, because that's a lot of editing, because then I got to go
It's
through.
Just too much work for you.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's an accident, but I've been dying to open up with that for you, and I was going to do it on Wednesday.
You threw me, man. I didn't know what to say.
I know. The look on your face was a riot. That was so funny. Yeah, so what was I going to say? Oh, now I'm all lost.
Yeah, I know, because you threw yourself off your own game.
Yeah, exactly. That Deathstroke cover. Got a chance to look at it. That thing's awesome.
It
the
is.
The orange
very, very
and the
cool.
blue. It's kind of orange and blue. I mean, there's blue tones to the backgrounds, but then the orange of his costume, which is like, it's metallic-y. So that was really cool. I actually just might buy that one for myself, just the cover.
So good job by Skon.
Yes, exactly. And the other cover that I looked up after, because you kept talking about it, was the one from Xenoscope. What was the book?
Yeah, Mystere.
Yeah, and I read about it too. That looks like it's going to be a pretty good story.
Yeah, it's like La Dama de Muerte or something like that.
Yeah,
there's another book with that same type of the same character on it. I think so. Yeah, it looks it looks interesting.
Yeah, I like that stuff. It's so. I mean, I'm obviously reading Robin Hood, but
yeah, I've been reading all the Xenoscope. That's come out lately, and I've liked most of it.
Yeah.
I just finished Dragon's Blood, I think, and what's the other one? The Wizard of Oz one. Dorothy something of Oz. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz ones that just ended was also pretty good. So.
Yep. But yeah, that's FOCs for today, Monday, so not to timestamp it, but that's what we do. We're a timely podcast.
We are.
So... Are you ready to get into The Boys?
I don't know,
what
DJ.
That laugh
Are you ready to get into The Boys?
That laugh is just awful. I got to save that laugh.
I know.
That was just like, you got to grow up, man. I can't come in with that open anymore.
Look
what it's done to you. You're ruined. All right.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about the comic / Amazon TV show, The Boys.
People love superheroes. They swoop out of the sky and save the day. People love that cozy feeling that superheroes give them.
Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up!
Robin!
The Boys.
All right. What'd you think?
I really liked it.
Really?
I thought it was I thought, yes, I did.
I was nervous.
I thought it was
the way
really
you said on Wednesday last week, you were like, we'll talk about that later. I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, no. I just didn't want to spoil. I didn't want to, you know.
Well, we had enough to talk about.
I didn't want to bury the lead. But, yeah, I really liked it.
Good.
I had not read the comics at all.
Okay.
I really didn't know anything about The Boys. And, you know, looking at the covers of most of the comics, it doesn't even give away that it's a superhero story, really. It looks like a gang. Like, I thought it was more of like a gang show or a mobster kind of show.
Yeah.
Until they started showing the promos on Amazon, and then obviously they let you know right away that it's a basically a superhero show. But yeah, this is not your dad's superhero show. You know what I mean?
Well, actually, it is your dad's. It's not your kid's.
Yeah. But yeah, this is very adult oriented.
So have you read the comic at all?
No, I still haven't read it.
Not yet. Oh, read it.
Not yet, but I do want to read it now. But I'm at a thing where I don't want to necessarily spoil myself for the upcoming shows because I don't want to read. There's like, I don't know, 10 volumes of this. Like, this is a pretty long story.
So,
you know, it goes on for a while.
This story seemed to be, now, I've only read one because when I heard it was being made, I was like, I wanted to come into this one reading the book, whereas when we did Umbrella Academy, I read that after the fact. And that was like I said, when I read that was a fun exercise because it was actually, you know, the show was more informative. And then the book was a quicker read after the fact. This one is, you're back to normal. I'm glad I read it first. And it's basically what we saw on Amazon is the what's the name of the name of the game is it's like volume one. That's what I read.
Right, the first. I would imagine it's the first volume.
Yeah, and it's
a
bunch of, you know, it's Cherry is like three different stories in it. I can't remember the first one off the top of my head, but it loosely follows that, and I definitely recommend picking it up. If you haven't read it and you've seen the show, I definitely recommend picking it up.
I do want to read it.
I thought it was better than the show.
Yeah. Like I said, I do want to read it, but I know that, again, it's a lot of volumes, and I just, you know, only 15 years late, but I just started reading The Walking Dead, and that's 193 issues, and I'm on issue 20. So I either have to take a break from that and get into The Boys, or it's going to be weeks before I get into The Boys because I'm going to start laughing again right now because I'm talking about getting into The Boys. But I feel like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, well,
you know,
speak for yourself.
Like, or at least Beavis.
Yeah.
if I get to pick who I am. But yeah, so I don't know. It may be a while before I get to this because, you know, not to get way off track, but the Walking Dead comic's pretty awesome. So, like, I'm really hooked on on that right now. Yeah,
it's not like you don't have enough to read.
Well, I know, and that's the thing. In between all my weekly books, I'm trying to squeeze in, you know, 173 more issues of The Walking Dead. So, but yeah, all that being said, The Boys has definitely moved on to my list. It never was on my list of things to read, honestly. I didn't know anything about it. But now that I've watched the show, it's definitely somewhere, you know, on my read list. But yeah, hell, so is Umbrella Academy, and I haven't read that yet either. So
yeah, that was that's a quick one. You'd read that in an afternoon, not even an afternoon.
Yeah, because it's just basically a one. Well, it's three. There's three volumes of it, but yeah, you can go through a volume in a couple hours. So
yeah, the Boys volume one there. You'd probably read that in hour and a half.
Easily. Is that fast?
And it's good. You just don't want to put it down, and that's why I said I think the comic is better than the show.
I know
graphic.
That, like you said, you said it was loosely based, and I know there's already characters and parts of the story that were left.
Yeah,
out
I'll
of
get
the
into
show.
That in spoilers. I'll let you know there's a few different ones. It's not going to ruin the comic for you. I won't get into the few differences that I found since you haven't read it, but I'll leave that alone. But It's not like they changed it and it's not good. I thought the changes that they made are it's so that they can separate. So if you've read it, you might have read all 10, and maybe they borrowed from other books as well. I don't know, because I've only read the first. But the tone is the same. I thought, speaking of the tone, I thought when I first started the show, it was very reminiscent of Watchmen.
Yes.
I thought the way they shot it seemed like the grain to the picture seemed like Watchmen. Not as harsh as Sin City, but more like Watchmen. And the contrast that they did seemed to be like Watchmen.
Right.
But
it was very reminiscent of the Watchmen in a lot of ways, really. You know, because again, the Watchmen.
Well, other than they're not normal superheroes.
Right. But, you know, again, it was meant for an adult audience. You know, it was meant to be a more mature take on the superhero genre. And, you know, this was, you know, like I said, I felt like it had definite roots in the Watchmen.
Yeah.
You know, even though the story, like I said, they're very, very different stories, but you can see the connections and you can see some of the themes kind of carrying through.
Yeah. Can I get into a controversy?
Sure. Do you have a sounder?
Yes, I do. Here it comes.
Controversy. Controversy.
This isn't about The Boys. This is about Amazon.
Oh, okay.
This is the first show I've watched on Amazon. Because and speaking of sounders, their sound is so horrible. It's so disappointing. Before we started recording, we were talking about our theaters and different, you know, setups and how you want to upgrade stuff in yours, and I'm upgrading stuff in mine. We spend a lot of money on these things, and it pisses me off that Amazon, you're charged, you know, $99 for Prime or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's $100 a year.
The Boys is it's a great show. I really enjoyed it. But in the theater, I had to go around the room and check and see if all my if they were using the speakers. And it's so disappointing that they put that much effort into it and they can't do a decent, you know, audio track to this. Right. And it's like, so Daredevil season one kind of set the bar for these shows. And that was, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And now Netflix is doing Atmos, which it's not Atmos like you get on a disc, but it's a good sound system. And it's ridiculous. The things that they could do, and it improves, it just improves the experience if you're going to take part of it. Now, a lot of people I know, they watch it on their computers, they watch it on a television, that's fine. But you're putting all this money into a show, and you can't do something simple like that I can do sitting right here.
Right. Like, I don't think this even had an Atmos track.
No,
Dolby
it doesn't.
Surround.
But you don't need to have an Atmos track.
Daredevil
season one was in just standard Dolby Surround, and it was fantastic.
Amazon did Jack Ryan with an Atmos track.
Right.
And that was a big cluster F2.
Go ahead, drop it, because I got the sounders now.
It was a cluster.
For gosh sake, watch your language.
Because you couldn't get it off of the Fire Stick, which is Amazon's device.
Right.
You couldn't even get the Atmos track to work. It would show that it was playing Atmos, but you got no sound out of your speakers.
Right.
At least I didn't.
No.
But when I watched it on my Apple TV through the Amazon Prime app, at least I was able to get the Atmos track.
Right.
But I didn't notice anything. Like, I don't know, it wasn't very impressive either. Compared to, like you said, something like Daredevil or even like Stranger Things,
has a great
track.
Yeah,
and you know, like you said, this may be pandering to a smaller audience, but it makes a difference.
It does.
Like when you watch some of these shows, you know, I don't even feel like I have the optimal Atmos setup, but when I put on Daredevil season 3, the first episode, I mean, it's like fantastic. Just the extra experience of watching that with that sound.
Right.
Like, it really makes a difference.
So let me give you an example, and then we can move on if you want. There's a theory that sound is 70% of your experience in a movie. A lot of people don't understand that.
No, I agree.
But it's like if you take the sound out of Jaws, you don't really care. That's the best example. I've got one that a lot of people...
I disagree, though, because without that music... like without the Jaws music,
right?
Like you do care. It's not the same experience.
Exactly.
It's just a big fish swimming around yeah. without that music, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. So let me give you another real world example besides that. So you know that feature that's on a lot of sound bars, TVs have them now, where you can set it's called night mode for sound,
mm-hmm.
and what it yeah. does is it equalizes the sound. So you don't end up with, like, if you're watching a TV show and somebody's like this and they're really far away, but then all of a sudden somebody's like this and it's really loud, what they do is they equalize it. Do you know why that was invented? What causes that? Commercials. Commercials
right.
put out the best sound because they know that people are watching their TV shows. They could be dozing off. They could be doing something. And if you ever notice, all of a sudden, your commercial,
yeah,
you get tied screaming
you,
at you or something. That's how powerful sound is. And commercials utilize it the most. But in a big budget TV show or something like a Daredevil or any of these action shows, they're utilizing it, and it does add to the experience. And when
right.
it's not there, you know what you don't get? You don't get replays. You don't get clicks if you want clicks. Do you know how many times I watched that opening scene, or not opening scene, but in season one of Daredevil, when he goes down and he fights in the hallway?
The hallway scene,
it's
right.
like when you were up here, I'm like, that's one of my regrets. I didn't show you that scene in my theater because he literally fights down the side of my room. And
yeah.
it's great. And so Netflix is getting a click every time I want to show somebody that, or I just want to go in my theater and watch a great scene. Do
right.
you think I'm doing that with The Boys? No. The
no.
sound was horrible. It sucked. And it's very disappointing. It actually takes away from the experience because you can expect so much more nowadays.
Right.
And it is. It's very disappointing. So,
well, and this wasn't a low-budget production.
Exactly.
Like, there was money spent on The Boys. Like, the costumes, the sets, the filming, the effects. I mean, we're all top-notch.
Right.
So, like, why can't you just go that extra step and put a good sound mix in there, you know?
Part of me wonders, like you said, is it the mix? Like, if this comes out on Blu-ray, will I get a better mix? And is it the fact that they just don't know how to stream their content? Because I still can't get Jack Ryan, and I haven't seen Jack Ryan because I know it's in Atmos, and I want to wait so I can see it in Atmos, and I'm going to have to just suck it up and watch it in Dolby Surround. And I know a lot of people listening right now are like, oh, poor baby, talk about first world problems.
Right.
But it's part of the experience for me. So,
well, like I said, watch it on the Apple TV. It comes through in Atmos.
Well,
it's just not super impressive,
but it
does come through.
It hasn't come through on mine, so I don't know what it is.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't gotten it.
Oh, because I did get it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So, but anyways.
Anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get back. Let's get to happier talk here.
/ end rant.
Exactly. So, on that, the action in the show I thought
yeah.
was really good. Still spoiler free
yes.
here.
Oh, okay.
Action was really good. I thought...
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to start launching into
No. We'll still go
spoiler-free
for a little bit. Yeah, the action was really good. I thought each episode had a decent amount or had something that would grab you.
Yep.
I thought the acting, the casting, I thought was really good.
Yes.
Each character, I really bought into every character. What's her name? Who is it? Starlight.
Starlighter?
Yeah, she was awesome.
She was really good.
The way she portrayed that... You know, that small town church girl or whatever. That was
yeah.
awesome. She was so good. Got anything else spoiler free? You just want to get into spoilers.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else. You know, like I said, we touched on the acting. The casting was great. I liked Homelander quite a bit. I like that actor. I've seen him in other shows. I can't think of his name, but he did Banshee on Stars, a couple seasons
yeah.
of that. And it was a great show. So it took me a while to figure out who he was.
Yeah.
You know, I kept looking at him. I was like, man, I've seen that guy before. But in Banshee, he was brown hair with a beard, with a beard and mustache. So it took me a minute. But he was great. I think Homelander was, you know, he steals the show, really. He was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. He was also in American Gothic. That was
yes.
a TV show.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah,
he was
I did.
Really good in that.
Yes.
He was the guy that lived in the woods up in New Hampshire
yep.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Spoiler-free, what'd you think of the overall story? Because we touched on the fact that it's similar to the book, but what did you think of the overall story?
I mean, I liked it. Like I said, I thought it was an original take on the superhero genre. This felt more to me like this is what you would get if superheroes were real. Like, if superheroes existed in our world today, this is what they would be. Like, this seemed more real to me than Batman or Superman. You know what I mean? Because people right. aren't that selfless overall, you know? And even spoiler-free, we could say none of these guys are good dudes, you know? I mean,
to varying degrees.
To varying degrees, you know? You know, some of them are better than others. But for the most part, they're... I liken them to pro athletes or what have you. You know,
well, I was going to get into that in spoilers. I have a whole theory on that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's just get into that then.
All right. So, we'll start spoilers now. So, if you haven't seen it, stop listening. Sorry.
Yep.
So,
just go back and listen to our rant on sound, and then you can turn it off.
Exactly. So, all right. So, getting into spoilers, do you know the story of why Simon Pegg's in it, seeing you didn't read the comic?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So when they wrote the story, the artist,
besides that he's awesome in everything and should be in everything.
So the character of Huey
yeah.
was drawn for Simon Pegg.
Oh, really?
Back in, what was it, 06, I think it came out. So it's in the foreword of the book. And there's the foreword's by Simon Pegg. And he wasn't as big of an actor at the time, and he found out that they were using his likeness in a comic book, which it's just, you know, you can do it. It's not like you're stealing his likeness because all you're doing is drawing him. But he thought it was pretty cool, so I thought it was cool that he was in the – obviously, he can't play – he's a little too old to play Huey, so
– Right.
You know, but he plays Huey's dad. But, yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool if you didn't know that.
I didn't, no.
So – But anyways, so the story starts out, it just starts out real, real ugly.
Well, it does. You know, you get, you know, you meet Huey, and he has this dead-end job, you know, and he doesn't have the guts to confront his boss and ask him for a raise. And
Radio Shack.
His girlfriend picks him up, and, you know, they're walking and talking, and she's like, you know, did you ask for your raise? And he says, no, and... They're just talking like normal, and then all of a sudden, and this is what reminded me of was,
You had a day like that at Radio Shack?
No, but it reminded me of Final Destination. You remember that movie, Final Destination?
Where they all
You have this scene, and they just go, right, but they're just kind of walking along, and everything seems like just peaceful scene, and all of a sudden, this, like,
hit by a
bus comes by, right, and just... That's what it reminded me of. It was just like, super cool, having a conversation. Don't you dare talk bad about Billy Joel, and then splash.
Yeah.
There's like blood everywhere. You don't really know what happened.
Yeah, but it was cool how they did it, though. It wasn't
awesome.
Slow motion.
Right, it was. It was slow motion.
I mean, literally, there was like a blood drop on the floating in the air. You didn't, as a viewer, you didn't know what was happening. I thought
You didn't know.
They did a great job portraying that because, you know, that scene is... similar in the book. It takes place a little differently. But just the only reason I'm referencing it is for them to do that creatively in the show and the way they, you know, I mean, there's many ways you could have done that. They could have just done it full speed. They could have done it super fast. But to do it, to slow it down like that, and then not only that, just give you just a glimpse. Like, you don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is that floating there? Oh, wait, that's blood. And then for a little while, it pans back, and, like, he's still holding her arms.
Right. You know? He's standing there with both hands.
Right.
And
which
it's like,
there's...
Yeah, and then there's, like, enough blood for 12 people, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that takes place throughout the show. Like, when somebody dies or explodes, or we'll get into it, it's like
when glass breaks
blood.
And there's enough glass for, like, 10 glasses.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
kind of like that, you know? But and then it pans to A-Train, and he's covered in blood, and you realize that this dude just ran through this girl standing on the street. And I'm like, well, that's a start.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And then it kind of just goes from there. I kind of expected throughout the first couple of episodes of the show that, because at first you don't realize that all these heroes were manufactured. You just think they're heroes, and they get their powers like you know, comic book heroes get. So I kept thinking that, you know, this is how Huey turns into the bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, his motivation is that, you know, his girlfriend got killed, and he's going to develop powers and turn into the super bad. And I kind of expected that for the first couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And then you realize that that's, you know, really not what's going to happen. You know, it's definitely, that's the recipe for creating supervillains in comic books, is something like that happens. And, you know, let's face it, I mean, he's set up as the hero of the show.
Yes.
He's not really a good dude either, you know?
Well,
like, Huey's definitely questionable.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, he kills Translucent.
Yep.
You know, when he didn't have to. You know, I mean, he kind of didn't have to.
Well, what would the outcome have been if he didn't? You know,
well,
he's escaping.
I mean,
then...
maybe, right, but maybe Translucent lives up to, maybe he lives up to his word, though, and says, you know what, you let me go, so.
And what out of any of the other characters of the seven lends you to believe that he's going to stand up to it, you know, live up to his
well,
word?
Well, I mean, they weren't all, again, they were varying degrees of scumbags. You
right.
know, like if it was A-Train or Homelander, yeah, you definitely don't believe those dudes. But if it's like Queen Maeve or even Aquaman, the Deep, whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was a bright light in the darkness.
Right, but you still might believe him if he says, you know, if you let me go, I won't come back. Because he didn't, he had his issues, but he wasn't like homicidal. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, he kept trying to save the poor animals and he just kept failing miserably.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
So I don't know. Like I said, we don't know what would have happened, but... You know, he blows them to smith. And again, talk about having enough blood for
yes
12 people. That room was like, there was enough room. There was enough blood in that room for like 37 people.
Yeah,
like,
that was pretty rough. Well, you know what I had? I had a question on that. That was one of the episodes my wife watched with me because she wasn't a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
But I turned to her and I'm like, okay, so he's got like this carbon fiber skin that's impenetrable.
Right.
Why did he blow apart?
Right. Shouldn't he have just blown in? Like, it should have been like a cartoon.
Right.
Where he had indigestion, right? Like, he should have just ballooned out and blown up.
And then just fallen to the ground.
Right, his empty meat sack should have just fell to the
exactly.
ground.
Exactly, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so if the explosion happens on the outside, he's fine. But if it's
right.
on the inside, he just gets torn apart.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get that. Because it's not
yeah,
like,
no, you're right. It should have just,
you know what
like,
I mean?
Like, just like liquefied his insides and his empty skin should have fell
right.
to the ground.
You throw a bomb inside a tank, the tank doesn't blow apart. It just goes boom inside.
Exactly, right.
Like, so I was like, not to poke holes in the... You know, in the story.
Yeah,
here,
well.
Because it was entertaining seeing him sit there with blood all over him and stuff.
It definitely was.
Speaking of the blood, the show, very, very graphic.
It was very graphic. Now, here's what I'll say is that, you know, there's definitely some scenes. Like, every episode of this opened with the mature rating, and it says nudity, sex, strong sexual content, blood, and violent. You know, there was actually very little sex and nudity, I thought, in this show. Well, I'm just saying, like, it
you
wasn't...
You wanted more.
Like, no, but what I'm saying is it was R-rated for violence,
right.
for sure, but it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, especially given the first encounter between the Deep and Starlighter. You were led to believe that the show was going to be a lot more vulgar than it was, but
it
didn't really turn out to be that way. And I'm not saying that this is still something you want to let your kids watch.
Oh, no.
Because it's still very, you know, there's a lot of cursing and it's very violent. But there wasn't a lot of, I didn't find it to be very, there's more sexual content on most things that you watch on HBO. I didn't think this was really that bad when it came to that. I was expecting worse because I had heard that the comic books were worse.
They are. There's way more sexual content in the comic books.
Most of this was implied. More so than graphic, I thought, you know.
Yeah, and it's similar in the comic books. I mean, it's not X-rated. But
right, right.
It is more graphic in the comic books.
Like I said, I don't know why I went off on that tangent. It just because I kept seeing it on the beginning of every episode,
and I kept
thinking, you know, this really isn't that bad. But there was one episode in the middle where it didn't say that.
Exactly.
And I was like, well,
is this the
one that doesn't have it? Because none of them had it, you know? I thought that was weird. I did notice that, though.
Yeah, it's just that
it
one
was
episode,
like episode
like,
five or something. It was just kind of right in the middle. Yeah, and it was like
that's the one
that
you
was
skipped,
weird.
Right? Like not yeah. even worth watching.
Yeah, I didn't even bother. I was like, oh, there's no SSL or N or nudity, so I'm not going to watch it.
So as the story is progressing, they're getting worse. Each character seems to be getting worse.
I mean,
Homelander is just getting more and more despicable.
Right, because after the first episode, maybe even the first two episodes, you think that he is the moral compass. Like, you think he's actually the good guy and he's surrounded by bad guys. And then all of a sudden that all comes apart, you know, and you realize, oh, he's the biggest scumbag of all of them, really. Like, he was a rough dude, you know.
Like, staying on that track, it kind of plays out to the end, and it is explained why by...
Yes, right. You get to the same... I don't know what we were talking about last week, where we kind of said the same... Oh, we were talking about Stranger Things 2 weeks ago, and when we were talking about Billy, and how you sort of start feeling bad for him...
Yeah.
...because you realize what his background was and how he was brought up, and they sort of do the same thing here with Homelander, and... Sometimes I don't like that. It's like, why don't we let the guy just be a dirtbag because he's a dirtbag? Like, why do we have to explain it away? Like, why do we have to sort of humanize him being a dirtbag? Because you don't want to start liking the guy or feeling bad for him. And you definitely don't. Like, he still carries it through all the way to the end. He's still a dirtbag. But
even at the very end, at the very, very end, I almost thought, like, I was like, wait a minute, is he going to do a cool thing here? And then, nope,
yeah.
he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He was just like, he was kind of just, you know, rubbing it in Butcher's face.
Right.
On that note, that's my fear for, now here's another tangent, but hey, it's our show. The Joker, the movie coming out. That's why I'm not looking, that's what I'm afraid of that movie coming out, is that we're going to get a backstory and make and explain him away, and it's like, that's the best part of the Joker.
Well, right, and we've both said that multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I know.
I don't want that out of that movie.
That's the one character that you don't want to do that with.
Well, and like I said, that's kind of what I felt with Homelander. Like, I don't want that backstory. I just want him to be, like, the dirtbag. You know, I want him to be the bad guy because he's a bad guy.
So here's where I'll allow it here, is I think moving forward, this is why you're – this is it's part of the story on how these characters or how these – soups were made,
right?
You know what I mean? Because they were literally made out of you know, to quote Tony Stark, out of a bottle,
right?
But then you see in contrast, I can't remember the guy's name that said it to him, he's like, you needed a mother, you were raised without a mother,
right? The doctor,
right and it's like, you are my biggest failure, I think he called him. But then by contrast, if you notice, Starlight, she's was raised with her mother, and she, and her mother had horrible intentions.
Yes,
but
she still turned out right.
But she was raised with good intentions of, like, I'm going to raise you right in a religious background. Not that that's right, but it's like, and they
but
actually
she was...
go into that. You don't really, they don't reference it, but they go into it a little bit more in the book. You get I got a little background of that that you probably didn't get. There's multiple. This is where I usually have trouble when you go back and forth. What do I know from where? How many people? How many soups do you think there are on the planet?
Well, I know there's more in the book than what we get in the show.
Okay, so it's like 200,000.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so there's,
because they mentioned that there's several of them that have applied for the seven and weren't and weren't accepted, and then they're assigning them to cities around the U.S.
Right.
So, I don't know if I knew it was 200,000, but you knew there was more.
Yeah, you know the story with A-Train and...
Popclaw?
Yeah, Popclaw. That story, that they were teammates on a second-tier superhero team.
So, like the...
The minor leagues.
The Titans.
Yeah, so, no, but it's almost like the minor leagues, and it's
Young
like,
Justice.
So there's they were on that team, and... There is another team. Remember where Starlight says she dated Drummer Boy?
Yeah.
So Drummer Boy, they were teammates on this. It's almost like a religious team.
Okay.
There's a religious superhero team, almost like. It's explained in the book. And so then you get called up to the big leagues, which are the Seven.
Right.
That's the biggest superhero group in the world. So this is where I got into an overall view of this. It's almost like the show, more so the show than I think the book, but it seems to be a play on, like, professional sports.
Right.
Like, we all, like, looking at professional sports from afar, we idolize these guys. But when you get in and you see how the sausage is made, you're like, this is disgusting.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's a business, it's a dirty business. And then, I mean, they even get into the performance enhancing. It's really, the entire thing is like, I thought it was a metaphor for professional sports and right. how, you know, the two dichotomies there, the image versus reality.
Well, it's professional sports or entertainers. It also feels like a talent agency, you know, because they talk about how they have handlers and like Butcher's wife was like the social media director for Homelander. So it's very much like you said, professional sports or entertainment actors and things like that. Basically, the Vought is like the talent. It's the I can't think of what's the big talent, the big entertainment talent agency that's out there. But
I don't know.
It's
they
like
keep
that,
calling me,
you know?
And I forget their name.
I know. William Morris. It's like the William Morris agency. You know, it's like they're all.
I gotta call Bill back.
Yeah, they're all assigned an agent, and obviously they're making like the motivations for all of them at the end is money. Like they're making millions of dollars a year. Because they get percentages of their royalties that they bring in. Could be billions in some cases. Like, Homelander's probably bringing in billions. But I thought to myself as I was watching this, like, if his motivation was to Vought because he is making all this money through all his endorsements and all this stuff, it's like, he's Homelander. Like, he can just get all the money he wants. He doesn't have to do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if that's my character, I'd just break into banks and steal all the goddamn money I want. Like, why go through all the hoops of doing all of this stuff, you know? But, you know, ultimately, that's what it was. It's greed. You know, they all want their fame and they all want their money. And that's what their motivating factors are.
Exactly. They're not. And that's what I thought was, you know, different from our normal superhero stories is that all of our Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Captain America, they all have their motivation is all pure.
Right. It's help. Right.
They
we
screw
help
up,
people.
But it's all.
Well,
pure.
Yeah.
But this here is like, and it's sad to say, we're like, no, this is more real.
Well, it
is. More real world.
It is.
It is, but it here's the difference. And they, and again, they touched on this in the book. It's like, so they there was this one part in the book where they said, do you understand that, like, the police, the FBI, the CIA, they have a percentage that's acceptable losses, okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you go into a hostage situation, acceptable losses is, like, 20%, say. And I think that's what they say in the book. And they're like, right. If they come out under 20%, nobody loses their job. It's a risky job. This is what it is, okay? And then they said, do you know what it is for the soups? It's like, I think they said it's 60%.
Right.
And he goes, do you know why that is? And it's funny. I wish they had put this line in the show because they basically spelled it out for you throughout the show. And the line was, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't have a plan. They have no experience at any of this. They're just these guys with powers that just go out willy-nilly, and they have no executable plan. They're not trained for this.
The other part of it is, too, is like, let's say out of all the people they interact with, if they save 60% of them, or if 60% of them die, they're still considered a success. It's like a batting average, right?
Right.
But it's because if they didn't intervene at all, 100% of those people were going to die. They basically, even though they let 60% die...
With the plane crash, we don't know that.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is in most cases, if they weren't involved at all, they would probably all have died. So it's kind of like, well, at least I saved 4 out of 10. That's better than 0 out of 10.
But that's the thing. And this plays out throughout the thing. These people don't know what they're doing. Even Homelander.
Oh, no, they don't.
He
right.
goes into the plane, and it looks like he's doing a good job. Then he blows up the dashboard with his eyes.
Right.
It's like, and then he's like, oh well, let's leave.
I think even as bad as he is, like, I think his intention when he went into that plane was to save those people.
Right, but my point is he has no experience. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just has
right.
powers, so he's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then she's like, what's her name? Is like, lift
Maeve.
The plane.
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, with what? Like, I'm out of here.
That makes so much sense now that you think about it, because now you think about Superman doing it. It's like, where's he getting leverage? Like, how's he lifting this plane? Because there's nothing to stand on. He was right when he said that.
Well, how's he get himself off the ground? It's the same power. He's just lifting himself.
she says, well, just fly at the plane really fast. He's like, yeah, I'll just go right through it. It's like, well, that's probably what would happen to Superman, too.
Yeah,
it's
but just... no, because then you get into the argument of, like, Lois Lane would have been cut in half in Superman and back in the 70s
yeah.
because he caught her and she just would have been cut in three pieces.
And she's like, well, just fly him back to the ground really fast and come back. And he's
goes,
like, 163 times?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's like, okay.
Yeah, but you know what was funny? Or not funny? It's almost like he could do it. He just didn't want to.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it seemed like he could do it.
That's
he's
too
just,
much work.
Right. He's like, 163 times? No way.
No way. So it's that's how like awful these guys are. They don't train
yeah.
for this. They don't do anything. They just go out. They make appearances. And they have no – and I mean, the Deep is the best example of a guy that has no idea what he's doing. He's
yeah.
driving around in a high-speed chase with a dolphin in the back. And I said
that
to my
awesome.
Wife, that was another episode she watched. I go, you're not going to want to see this. And she goes, why?
No.
I go, he's in a van with a dolphin on a, in a hammock in the back. Yeah. You don't see this coming, that he's going to stop short and a dolphin's going to go flying out? And
oh.
not to mention, you – like, you whatever the damn word
anthropomorphize.
Is. Yeah, the dolphin – because he's talking to her, and he's like, okay,
yeah.
but and then he's getting sexual with the dolphin, too.
Right, he's
to
like,
begin with.
Well, if I touch it,
will you
forget about
up?
It?
So then he slams on the brakes, the dolphin goes back to the window, and he watches it go out, and then he gets hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And,
the funny thing was, he talks about dolphins like 10 times throughout this. Like, he's always talking about the dolphins.
Yeah.
None of the other sea life, just the dolphins.
Yeah.
He's like talking to his psychiatrist. He goes, yeah, and they're really funny. They have regional accents and
yeah.
like cracking up.
That's actually, I've heard that though. That's not just, I
that they
heard,
have regional accents.
Yep, I've heard, that's how
yeah.
smart dolphins are. And
yeah.
they actually, they make fun of each, or they play games with each other. They do.
Yeah.
Dolphins are really smart. And then the other one, when he tried to save the damn lobster, I was like, you know that's going to get killed.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I thought the guy was going to go, okay, here you go, and he's just going to throw it in a pot. But instead, he just does the knife through the top
yeah.
of the head, and you're like, oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
He's like trying
know,
to save
brutal.
The animals. But that's my point. It's like these guys, they have no experience on doing
he's
anything
stupid.
Good. They're
like,
all dumb.
Like, yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, it's like, oh. But that plays out through the whole thing. They're just superpowers, but they're
right.
unearned.
Right. Well, because you wonder if they ever went through any kind of training. Like, obviously, they've been through no training.
No.
No training programs.
That's my point.
No,
yeah.
nothing. It's like, you would think if this company, Vought, is going to put them out there in the world, they would at least have some personal, like, they would have some regimens that they had to go through. Because even Starlighter says, she's like, when I was growing up, my mom put me in Taekwondo and all that. Like, she was trained, at least for self-defense and combat and all that. Maybe not her judgment, but at least.
Well, I didn't even think her judgment was that bad.
No, but I'm just saying in general.
Oh, the mom's judgment, you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying in general, like, she wasn't taught necessarily tactics on how to solve situations, but
right.
like she was trained at least physically in how to defend herself and you know how to do some of this stuff. But you would think there would be some kind of training program that all these guys had to go through, especially your at least your Seven. You know,
well, yeah, you get called up to the big leagues, but but that's the point, is like you got called up because of your image,
right?
Not because of your powers and not because of your abilities. It was just, you know, like, oh, we can
yeah,
market you. Yeah,
cuz I was going to say, what did somebody like the Deep do in the minor leagues that warranted him getting called up to the major leagues?
Well, probably cuz he was the only one in the water.
Yeah.
And you need a water guy. I thought what the heck was his name? The guy that looked like Snake Eyes.
Oh, Black Noir.
Black Noir.
Yeah, can we talk about the names a little bit first of all? Like, Black Noir is just black because Noir is French for black.
Yeah.
So his name is basically black.
Yeah.
And then you've got like Deep and Homeland. Like the names were not great.
Well,
for these characters,
even Mother's Milk.
Yeah.
And that came from, you know, that those were in the comics.
Yeah.
A-Train makes sense.
A-Train makes sense, but like Pop Claw and
Pop Claw makes sense.
I guess it makes sense too, but well, so does the Deep. I mean, it makes sense in a way, but I don't know. Like they weren't. I don't know.
But I just thought Black
original.
Noir was like, it was basically Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. And it's like, you don't know what his intent. He didn't really do anything. He fought.
No, you don't know anything about him. He played the piano pretty
yeah,
well. That's
yeah, he's
yeah,
a
well,
piano
and he's,
player.
I mean, again, this is, he's Batman. I mean, this is just the Justice League. You know, every one of these characters is a, such a blatant ripoff of the Justice, even the Seven is the Justice League. Every one of them was just their take on, you know, obviously he's Batman. You know, I'm not going to go through it all. We all know who they were.
Yeah, Homelander, but, Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, he was a weird character. Because like you said, yeah, you don't really know what his role was anywhere. He didn't really do a whole lot.
No, he was just there. He was just there to be part of the Seven.
Yeah. He was the only one that didn't let Homelander down, I guess.
He didn't say anything. Like, it's hard to let
well,
him
yeah,
down.
Well, yeah, but he's like, you're the only one that, he's like, you're the only one that didn't let me down, man. You know. And then you have Elizabeth Shue.
Yes. She's an original character to the show.
Was she? Okay, because yes. I would say that relationship with her and Homelander was a little uncomfortable.
You think?
Yeah.
She wasn't in the book. Her character in the book was a guy, at least the part that I read, I think, and it wasn't even as developed as that. It was
okay, because I was going to say, that makes it more uncomfortable.
No, actually, the most in the book, like, you know how, like, Homelander and Stilwell have their relationship? Butcher and Agent Rayner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Rayner from the CIA.
Yeah.
In the book, every time they get together, he just walks in and they go at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that's their relationship. And they hate each other. So it's kind of funny. But yeah. So I think they kind of flip-flopped that a little bit. But, yeah, so she was – that was a different take. There's a few different takes that I'm not even telling you about that – spoiler-free for the book for you. So – And people that are listening, if they've read it, they know what I'm talking about. So, oh, what's his name? Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, Mesmer.
Mesmer. Yeah, being
took
able-
me a minute. Took me a minute to recognize him too.
Oh, he was in Tusk.
Like, well, yeah, but took me a minute. I was like, man, I reckon this guy looks so familiar. And then I was like, is that the Sixth Sense kid?
Yeah. So. We just saw him in Tusk.
Yeah,
that was only a few months ago. We watched that.
Yeah, you know, he looked a little different.
Yeah, that was a different character too from the book, but I thought that was, you know, it was a cool little take. You know, he can read people's mind, kind of like a Xavier type thing, by touching them. And then what did they hold over his head? The insider trading by brushing up against the Wall Street guys or something like that.
Which again, that's just so real. Like again, that's more. Like you say, we say more real because obviously, air quotes, none of this is real. But same thing, like if you're that guy with that power, like, that's what you're going to do, right? Like I'm going to find the people to bump into that are going to get me the things I want in life, you know? Bumping into the Wall Street guys is
is
definitely what I'd do.
Yeah, would you even tell people you had the power?
No, that's the whole thing. I would just utilize it.
Right.
You know?
And don't
I mean,
tell
why,
people.
Why tell anybody you can do that stuff, you know?
Yeah, if it's something obscure like that.
Yeah.
All right, so we could wrap up with where you think this is going. Like, so season two, I'm wondering, are they going to borrow from more books? Or, because this is, and again, if people have read more books than just that, like I've read the first one, you haven't read any, let us know if they've borrowed from other books that are in here. But if they haven't, because it seems pretty strong on the, pretty heavy to the first book, if they haven't, it seems like they're going in a different direction. From the first book, almost like they're making their own story. So what's kind of cool is if you have read it, this is a great, you can follow along and there are surprises. I'm wondering if from here we go on and it has nothing to do with any of the books. Because like you said, there are 10 more chapters, or 10 more issues or chapters or whatever.
Right. Well, obviously I don't know because like I said, I haven't read any of it at all. But I would think that it would be like every other show that's based on, you know, books or comics, is that it will borrow pieces but not follow, you know, because like again, I mentioned earlier in the beginning that I started reading The Walking Dead. Now, I've watched every episode of The Walking Dead.
Right.
So same thing, you know, the comics, it's the same general story, but I mean, it's very different. You know, things play out very differently because, you know, the TV life, you know, the show takes on a life of its own and the book, you know, has its life. You know, Game of Thrones was the same way. So I would imagine this will, it will be loosely based on, like, I would imagine season two is probably volume two of the book,
this,
but not
the
word
ending
for
of
word.
The ending of the show is so, like, divergent from the book. That's
is it?
What, that yeah, yes. Because there's a bunch of plot points that took place in the book that never took place in the show. Well, for instance, in the book, Butcher's wife and kid die in front of him.
Okay.
In the book. And that's his motivation for what happens in the city. It's not really a spoiler because that's what you think is going on in this whole thing. So it would only be a spoiler in reverse if I told you.
Right.
So, but you see what I mean? Like, that story at the end, how they ended this.
Well, then it has to be wildly different.
Unless they go to future stuff, maybe not. I don't know.
Right.
And maybe they end it here. That's why I'm like, the next, because I know there's other things that take place. Like, even this book takes place as, like, they're getting the boys back together. There's stories that took place before this story. Like, remember how he got the guys back, I got the boys back together, and Huey was the only new one.
Right.
All the other guys, they'd all worked together before doing this exact same thing. So, issue two could be a prequel. Similar to Umbrella Academy is going to be Dallas, and we're like, what's that story? You know, you can read it, but...
Right. Yeah, I guess it could be, like I said, but I would imagine the way this end, like, that was a big cliffhanger for the ending of season one, so I can't imagine that the show doesn't pick up season two. Like, I would think if it doesn't pick up with that in season two and it goes to, like, a prequel type of story, it's gonna alienate a lot of people that have watched the show that, you know, didn't read the books or don't care about the books and they just want to watch the show. It's like, oh, you let me to this cliffhanger, and now you're just going to leave it dangling and not go back to it?
Like, yeah.
I don't see them doing that. I would imagine they would pick up season two and follow this story thread wherever they're going to take it.
Yeah.
But knowing now what you just told me about the book, it obviously has to be very different because, you know, those people don't exist in the comic, in the book anymore. It's like Daryl on The Walking Dead. Like, he was created for the TV show. He doesn't exist in the comic. So, I can't imagine those characters don't play a big part going forward. Why introduce them if they're not going to use them, you know?
Right, exactly. So, yeah. And the other thing, I can't recommend the book enough. It's an hour.
I definitely want to read it.
And... It makes you want to read the others, too. It's pretty entertaining. It's very entertaining. Not pretty entertaining. It's very entertaining. So, all right. That good?
I think so.
All righty. Let us know what you thought. Hashtag join the Brightside chat at brightside_chat on Twitter. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Obviously, iTunes, we're on Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, blah, blah, blah. And Facebook?
CastBox. Don't forget.
Are we? I don't know.
Well, you told me we were a long time ago.
Did I say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
See? There's so many of them.
I know.
And I'm learning about even more of them now, too, that we're on, but I don't remember them all. Because I think they take from other ones.
So yeah, we just show up all over the place.
Somebody told me that's, I don't know.
We're viral.
But please, rate, review, and subscribe, please.
Yep.
All right. And we will be back on Thursday with this week's news. We've got a bunch of books coming out this week. What do we got? Two more Carnages coming this week.
Two Carnage, and then we'll have Powers. Powers of 10-2.
Yeah. Is it Powers? Yeah, Powers.
Yeah, Powers of 10-2 comes out this week, and then I think we go Powers back to back.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So.
All right. We will see you then.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right. We will see you then.
All right. Take care, everyone. We're going to go finish doing The Boys.
And
cut. You can cut that out if you want.
Thanks for listening to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. and also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.